Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
We'd all rather be home snuggled up in our electric blankets, right? No? Thank you, Sylvia. Give her a star. I like coming to church on Wednesday nights. It just kind of helps me get through the week. So welcome tonight. Let's just open up in a word of prayer. Father God, we just praise you and thank you, Lord. God, you are so good, so merciful, so wonderful, Lord. We thank you for your word, Father. I pray that we are good soil, God, and that we receive that seed so tonight, God, that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for us, God, and that we would take it and receive it and bring forth fruit for your name, Lord. God, we just praise you. Thank you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Open your word to us tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as in the past couple years, the Lord always gives me a word of prophecy for the upcoming year. So I have, I'm going to begin off on just a word of prophecy for this next season that's coming up. If you're not familiar with prophecy, it's in the Bible. So you can read about it. Okay. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It is actually, my ministry gift is the gift of a prophet. And so I do have prophecy that I've told throughout the seasons that you can look at online. And it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. God is just using me. It is my gift. And so if you want to go back and look at some of those other ones, I know that what the Lord told me last year in January has happened everything this year. I mean, it is just boom, 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 boom. You can go back and look at that. And like I said, it is not me. It is the Holy Spirit inside me. Okay? And so it is a gift of the Holy Spirit. God always allows his faithful people to know what he is going to do. He does. So that we can be prepared for what God is going to do. He wants us to know what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. Now, he doesn't always give us the exact timing or exact way or anything like that, but he lets his people know in order for us to prepare for things, right? So turn with me to Revelation chapter 6. I know people don't like the book of Revelation. It happens to be my favorite book of the Bible. And the reason I love the book of Revelation is because it's the end of all things. And it's the only book that says who Jesus is right now. And it reveals him as King and Lord, and it's our hope. And so when you read Revelation, you shouldn't be afraid. You should be full of glory. You should be full of hope for what's coming, because this is our inheritance. Okay? Revelation chapter 6. Verses 5 and 6, it says, "And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. But see that you do not hurt the oil and the wine.'" So the Lord has spoken to me that the black horse of the apocalypse has been released. Okay. Now, what does that mean? What it means is that there's always two things going on, okay? There's things going on in the natural, in the world, and there's things going on in the spirit. Okay? So, this black horse is famine. Okay? There's a great famine that's coming over the world that will affect our food prices here in the United States. And our ability to get food, especially, this is the Lord said, especially if you are living just month to month, barely getting by. God says you're going to really struggle. He says in the next couple years, you need to prepare yourself for this that is coming. Now listen, you don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe this word. You can go on. You can go on and do what you're going to do. But I know this is a word from the Lord. And so I pray that you will receive it tonight. The Lord says, prepare yourself and your family with at least a 3-month supply of food. It can be rice, beans, grains, something in order to feed your family during that time. Okay. If you have money, though, this will not affect you. It says, do not touch the oil and wine. So people that have an abundance of money won't be affected by this. Okay? They're not going to be affected by this at all. The Lord says you need to use this time to wisely get out of debt and to prepare. Now, interesting enough, Casey is running, and this is not an FPU plug, because I will tell you, I had no idea that Casey wanted to do FPU this year. And he had no idea what the Lord had spoken to me about. And I told him, when he brought this forward, I went to him and I said, Casey, this is exactly of God. It is of God right now. It is in His timing. It is for preparation for things that God is going to do in the world. Take note, people. God is doing something. Okay? And He wants His people to know what's going on and to be prepared. So this, the FPU thing, and it is totally of God that our church is doing it this year. You have absolutely no idea how much that is of God. Because we did not go to Casey and Jen. They came to us and said, we want to do this. And I was like, you have no idea how right on time this is right now. Now, the Lord said, do not fear. See, because I look on people's faces and they're like, what? Because, you know, immediately you say famine, people are like, oh, what? You know, they want to hold on to things. They want to be fearful. The Lord's just preparing you. I don't think Noah was fearful when he built the ark. Right? Joshua wasn't fearful when he was holding back some grain. You don't need to be fearful. Do what God asks you to do, and He's going to take care of the rest. Do not fear. There's no fear. Perfect love casts out fear. If you are in a right relationship with God, you do not need to fear. If you do what God asks you to do, you have no need to fear. Okay? You need to trust Him now more than ever. More than ever. If you trust God for your salvation, why would you not trust Him for your body, for your provision? Come on, somebody. Right? How many of you are assured of your salvation? Say, if I die right now, I'm going to heaven. Right? Now, when I say famine, everybody's like, whoop! Come on. You got to trust Him for your body and provision. See, we live in the United States where everything's been taken care of. And we haven't had to trust God for those things. God wants us to trust Him. Okay? Now, this is the exciting part, because that's what's going on in the world. But in the spiritual, God says there's great and mighty things coming. There are miraculous things coming for the people of God. There is a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit coming this year. A great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. 2015, God said, is the year of reaping if you do not faint. That means if you don't give up. If you do not give up. It's a year of reaping. This season, the plowman will overtake the reaper. This is in Amos 9:13. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows the seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine and all the hills shall melt. That is, everything that is barren and unfruitful shall overflow with spiritual blessing. The plowman shall overtake the reaper. This means that things that took years to come to fruition, you will see happen in a day. Normally, you don't plant something and see it pop up the same day. When he says the plowman and the reaper are going to be in the field at the same day. That's this season, folks, that we're coming into. That's this season. You should get excited about that. Because God says healings are going to take place in a day. You're going to pray for something and you're going to see it that day. You're going to pray for a job and you're going to get it that day. It is an instant season. It's coming immediately. God literally said, in a day, it'll happen. In a day. That's some exciting stuff. If you do not faint. The Lord says, some people will not reap their harvest because they will quit before it's time to reap. They'll just quit. They'll give up. Now, there's a law of reaping and sowing, okay? Because God said there's a warning in this in Galatians 6, 7, and 8, right? It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that and only that will he reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So there's always two things going on in sowing and reaping. If you're sowing to the natural things, you're going to reap natural things. If you're sowing to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption immediately. Okay? God wants us to sow spiritual things. He wants us to sow spiritual things. The title of my sermon is Put Your Hand to the Plow. Put your hand to the plow. Now, you know, I have never farmed. I love those pictures. I have no idea about farming. I don't know what it takes. I'm sure Pastor Todd does. He grew up in Nebraska on a farm, so he knows all about it. I don't know anything about it. Doesn't look very fun though. Luke 9:62. So a young man comes to the Lord and he says, I will follow you, but first let me go bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. The image that the Lord uses here, right? He's using the personal experience of the hearers of that time. Okay? They were a peasant class. They knew that the eye of the plowman, if he is to do his work well, must look straight before him at the line of the furrow which he is making. Constantly. It says, when I was researching this, it said to even look back for a minute can mar your whole work. Whew. This is what the Lord said to him. Here is the man that's willing to follow Christ, but he must have a little time to talk with his friends, set his house in order, give directions concerning them. He seems to have worldly concerns more upon his heart than he ought to have, and he was willing to enter into temptation, leading him from the purpose of following Christ. Let me just go back and talk to these people. Let me go set my house, right? Give an opportunity for Satan to tell you not to follow Christ, not to do what God's asked you to do. Right? And Jesus says, if you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. No one can do any business in a proper manner if he is attending to other things. No man can do any business in a proper manner if he is attending to other things. Right? Those who begin the work of God must resolve to go on, or they will make nothing of it. Looking back leads to drawing back, and drawing back to perdition. This expression, looking back, has a reference to Lot's wife. Right? People remember Lot's wife. In Luke 17:32, Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. He says it. Remember Lot's wife. It's not an actual return to the world, but a reluctance to break with it. That's what it was. A reluctance to break with those things. Folks, it is time to get serious about plowing. You like that? I liked it. I thought it was pretty clever, right? Right? Amos 9:13. You must be in the field actively plowing if you're going to reap. Actively plowing. That word is a present participle. It means plowing and continue to plow. Not just plow, stop, look back, look around, what are you doing? It means plow and continue to plow and plow and plow and plow, looking ahead. Looking ahead. If you want to reap a harvest. How many of y'all want to reap a harvest? Amen. Me? Double. So you ask, what are you supposed to be plowing? Like, what am I supposed to be plowing here? I get it. What are you supposed to be plowing? You're supposed to be working the work that God has called you to do. Whatever it may be. Because your work is not my work. My work is not your work. It's whatever God has called you to do. That's your plowing. Whatever it is. He expects you to be using the gifts and talents that he has given you for his purposes. God has given you things, and he expects you to use them. It's time to put your hands to the plow. Let's read Matthew 24. I'm going to have to read out my Bible because I didn't write it down. No, I'm going to read a little bit here. I'm going to start in verse 43. It says, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. So he says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find him doing. Amen. So that means plowing and continue to plow until he comes. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Amen. So if we're doing what he calls us to do when he comes, he says, I'm going to make you a ruler over all my goods. But if the evil servant shall say in his heart, oh, my Lord delays his coming, and he shall begin to smite his fellow servants, I like that word, smite, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he does not look for him, and an hour that he's not aware of, and he shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That sounds pretty harsh to me. Look over in 25, starting in verse 14. This is the parable of the talents. A lot of you guys know this. For the kingdom of heaven is the man traveling into far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded and made them 5 more talents. Likewise, he that had received 2 gained another 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servant comes and he reckons with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought his other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more. And his Lord says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He that had received 2 talents came, Lord, you delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 more talents with them. And his Lord says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not straw. And I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there you have is yours. So his Lord answered him and said, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and I gather where I have not strawed. And you ought to have then put my money to the exchangers, and at my coming I should have received mine own with interest. Take therefore the talent from him, give it unto him which has 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast you, the unprofitable servant, into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth in these scriptures. Right? Notice in verse 25, he says, I was afraid, went and hid your talent. Recognizing that it is God's talent. I want you to notice that the Lord uses the term faithful here. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Right? This Greek word is pistos. Interesting enough, it's from the same word pistou, which means to believe. To believe, rely on, be faithful. The Greek is more than just one word. It's a culmination of things. To believe in God is to have faith in, rely on, obey. There's a ton that word encorpses, right? Encapsulates. Corpses. So where he says good and faithful servant, a believer then is one who is faithful, reliable, loyal, and trustworthy. This is what God expects of us. Interesting enough, this is the same word used of God in Christ, that he is trustworthy. We can depend on him to fulfill his promises, and he wants to depend on us. He wants to depend on us. He says, good and faithful servant. Otherwise, you're an unprofitable servant. A talent represents our abilities, time, resources, and opportunities to serve God while on earth. These things are considered by God as a trust that we are responsible to administer in the wisest way possible. God gives us those. It's a gift in order to use it for his benefit, right? Use it for his purposes. Use it for his kingdom, right? Like Pastor Matt, if you were here on Sunday, he preached. He said, if you have a dollar, that dollar is God's. Even a dollar is God's. And how you use it, right? Are you going to use it for him or for yourself? Maybe you just have one talent, but he expects you to use that one talent for his purpose. Yes. You know, and when I was going through this, I was thinking about the people that started off in church singing for the Lord. Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, yeah. Katy Perry, right? And now they're using that talent for the world. They're not using it for his glory. They're using it for the world. And I have a really good friend. A lot of you know her, Christian and Amanda Shields. And Amanda is a beautiful singer. Oh my gosh. Pianist and her voice. I mean, she is incredible. She absolutely could be out there making a ton of money off her voice. She is incredible, but she refuses to do it because she said, God gave it to me for his kingdom. God gave it to give it to me to glorify him for his purposes. Luke 9:23-25. This is Jesus speaking, and it says, "And he said to all, if any person wants to come after me, let him deny himself." Now, this word deny in the Greek means disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interest. That's what it means. Refuse and give up himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever will preserve his life and save it will lose it and destroy it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he will preserve and save it. For what does it profit if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? The call of Christ, the call of the cross, is an all or nothing. It is an everything. He wants everything in us. He says, every day, lay down your life, lay down your interest, lay down your ways, lay down what you want to pursue me for my will, my thoughts, my purposes, my interests. That is the call. Accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior demands not only in believing the gospel, but also in committing ourselves to following him. How are you going to call yourself a follower of Jesus that doesn't follow Jesus? We sang this song tonight, right? And I was looking at that bridge, and it says, you know, the one that said, "Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty," right? Next one is, "Defender, my Savior, you are my King." And you sang it, but do you mean it? When we sing these songs, do you mean it? You said, "You are my King." A king is someone who rules and reigns, who gets to tell you what to do with your life. So you sang it. Did you mean it? Did you mean it? You are my King. See, because when we get to heaven, he's King. He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You know, and the world has told you heaven is this place where cherubs play and they bounce around on clouds and, you know, there's rainbows and Skittles and, you know, motorcycles. Heaven is Christ's kingdom. It is Christ's kingdom where he rules and reigns. So if you don't let him reign here on earth, why do you want to be in heaven? It's his kingdom. He's the ruler. Y'all get it? Y'all sing that song differently next time, won't you? Salvation is a free gift. But once accepted, you are not free to live as you want to live. Your life is forfeit. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. That's the word God says. It says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price, a high price. Yes. The precious blood of Jesus Christ bought you. So now you are not your own. You are not your own. The choice between denying ourselves or living for our own selfish desires is a daily choice. It's a daily thing. And it's a struggle. Right? Some days, man, it's a struggle. But making the achievement of happiness and pleasure our goal instead of living in the will of God by his principles will end in disappointment and loss. Every time. Every time. But to renounce our own ways and live in fellowship with and obedience to Jesus is to find true life and happiness, true joy. If I had my will and my way right now, I'd be a physical therapist. Making lots of money. When I met my husband, I had done probably 100, 150 volunteer hours in physical therapy. I did my interview at the UT Health Science Center. I had a 4.0 in college. I was set to go to physical therapy. I was set to go to physical therapy school. I was ready to go. And the Lord told me, "Crystal, I want you to quit school." And some of y'all have heard this before. And I said, I am not doing that. This is my life. I argued with God. I argued with God for 2 weeks. And let me tell you, I didn't sleep. I didn't eat because I was fighting God. And it was miserable. I had physical symptoms in my, I had physical hard symptoms in my body. I mean, I was so uncomfortable in my skin. It was ridiculous. And I was like, God, why am I going through this? I don't know what to do. Why are you doing this to me? And the Lord said, I told you to quit. And finally, I quit. And I remember I had peace that flooded over me. And it was a Wednesday because I sat in the front row on a Wednesday night and I was crying on the front row. And my pastor saw me and he came down and he's like, Sister Crystal, what's going on with you? He's a big Texas guy too. He's all, Sister Crystal, what's going on with you tonight, sister? I said, Pastor Chance, I said, I don't know what happened. I said, this was what I've always wanted. I was pursuing it and I was this close. And I said, God told me to quit school. And so I said, I quit today. And I said, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I don't have a plan. I'm crying. I'm crying now because I can remember. I remember how it felt. And I said, God, I said, Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I'm lost. I have no plans for my life. And you know what he said to me? He said, Crystal, I wish more people listened to God like you do. He said, God's going to do great things in your life because you obeyed him. That's what he said to me on a Wednesday night. And I tell my husband all the time, if I had not done that, I would not have met him, because I met him about 3 weeks later. I would not have met him because I would have been busy in my school. And I would have missed my opportunity altogether. I would have missed it. I would have missed God's purpose for my life. If you are his and you are doing your own thing, you will find yourself fighting against God. And there is no peace in that. Anybody that's been there knows it. You know when you're fighting God, there is no peace. Man, you can't sleep. You can't eat. Man, it is literally fighting against God. And there's little physical symptoms in your body. This season, God wants you to have a full harvest, a full life with blessings and his favor. This season, folks, put your hands to the plow and don't look back. And I don't care what you've been doing. I don't care if you haven't been at it. Get to it now. There's time. There's always time. Not always, but now there's time. Get to it now. We are in the greatest time of church history, folks. We are in the greatest time of church history. The Lord said this. He said to me, he said, Crystal, my best is yet to come. Y'all should get excited about that. God said, my best is yet to come. This generation will experience a move of God like never before. The best is yet to come. Greater things will he do. The greater is coming. And you are here for such a time as this. It is not by accident that you are on earth at this time, in this place, right now. It is not by accident. Your life is not accident. I do not believe in accidents. I do not believe in faith. Fate. Sorry. I believe in faith, not fate. You are here for such a time as this. God has you here for this time in history, in this place, doing what he's asked you to do right now to experience what he's going to do in this generation. And he wants you to receive it. He wants you to be a part of it. He wants you to share it with your children and your children's children. We are in a great time. Amen? You are here for such time as this. Put your hand to the plow and don't look back. Y'all good? All right. Well, let's stand up and let's close in prayer. This will be online, and also I have notes that I can email you my notes if anybody wants my notes. I always do that. People like to keep that in their with them. Yeah. All right, let's just close in prayer. Father God, Lord, I thank you for this word tonight, Father God, and I pray that we all receive it, God. That those of us that have been plowing, we continue to plow, Lord. And if people haven't started, let them start now, Father God. I pray tonight you reveal to them what you want them to do for you, God. What you've asked them to do for your purposes, Father. And that we just get busy doing what you've asked us to do, Father. That we are your people, Lord. That when that day comes, God, that we hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Father God, I pray as we go home tonight, you bring us home safely, bring us back here Sunday morning, Father. We just give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.